Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez. We'll be looking ahead to the trip to Highbury to take on Fleetwood Town. Joining me on the pod to do just that, first off, a man who now finally has internet in his own house. Nathan, welcome to the 21st century. How are you?
Absolute scenes, mate. Got internet. It's all working. I had a little bit of dig at Gillingham fans the other week, and come to bite me in the bum when he mugged me right off after the game. Yeah. But it's all banter, isn't it? And it's not my fault if he's got internet. But yeah, no, all good, mate. Busy as usual. Be able to log on and all that jazz.
But now, with what you boast in internet, you know, you're now lacking hair.
Yeah. I've had the COVID cut.
Nathan's shaved his own head and he looks absolutely brilliant, and he's made the mistake of sending me a picture which will be finding its way onto Twitter shortly. Joining us on the pod this week is Welshy Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
I'm all right, yeah. Still got my hair, internet. So
in a way, now that Nathan's bald, does that remind you a bit of Johnny Williams, and does it make you miss him even more?
It's a step down, if I'm being completely honest, but yeah, I suppose I could think of it that way.
Excellent stuff. So on this evening's big match preview, then, we will, of course, be looking ahead to that trip up to Fleetwood, where the Addicts need to get back on track after the defeat against Gillingham last week. We'll hear from Lee Bowie looking ahead to that game. Of course, we've got a few tweets and emails to read out as well. Plenty of views to share on the show. Also from Bo, we'll hear some injury updates, like Jake Forsikaski, Ryan Innes, Akinfeme. We want to know a little bit more about them. And also, Bo does discuss today during press day the home form, you know, where we are with that still, and perhaps why we're struggling to get results at the Valley. So I thought it'd be interesting to have a little bit of discussion about that as well. So let's go straight into it, shall we? Fleetwood up at Highbury on Saturday for the Addicts. Obviously, we're going to be without Chuksunika. He was sent off during that game with Gillingham over the weekend. He'll be suspended. So during press day today, Terry asked Bo if Connor Washington will be starting alongside Jaden Stockley for the game up at Fleetwood, much like they did against Milton Keynes a couple of weeks ago.
Obviously, Connor's back fit now. So we've got three strikers now to choose from. We'll see how they go over the next couple of days. But Connor, obviously, he was out for a little bit, so we have to manage him, if you like. So Connor done well when we played him away. When we played him at home, sorry. So, yeah, it's good to have him back.
Must be a game you can be confident about, though, bearing in mind our away form. And the fact that, we are, if you take, even if the Gillingham game you mentioned before, we could have been 3-0 up before they had a sniff. After the first sort of goal caught us cold. But does that give you team confidence going up to Fleetwood, knowing how well we've played away from home, even without somebody like Chuck's in the side?
Yeah, we're always confident, Terry. We always, like, in training every day, you see, like, I see the players and we do a lot of good things. So whenever we go into any game, home or away, we honestly believe that we can win it. I put out a team that should win the game. So, like I said before, I don't think we're doing much wrong. The players don't need lifting too much because they recognise it. They're not silly. They've played the game long enough to recognise that they're not doing much wrong. So they know they're a good side. and yeah, we're missed chucks, but we've also got other people in the squad that can step up. I think Jaden showed that the weekend, scored again. Was unlucky with another chance or two. So yeah, we're going up there in good shape and good confidence, and yeah, it's going to be a tough game. You have to respect them. They're a good side, got good players, but so have we.
Fleetwood have Josh Morris, who's a player that is pretty well reported, at least the club was interested in bringing in on deadline day. Are you sort of wary of him as a player to come up against now, considering that you may have wanted to bring him in?
Yeah, he's a player that I've liked for years. I remember when I first came to the club as a coach, and he scored them two goals away from home, left foot, right foot. And he has some good talent. He can hurt you as an individual, not just by scoring, but also assisting. So, got a lovely left foot. Yeah, he's someone that we'll have to watch if he plays or comes off the bench. So, yeah, but I like him as a player. I think he's very good. So, like I said, Fleetwood have got a lot of good players. They pushed the boat out in the summer, in the last 2 years, really, since we went up. They pushed the boat out and spent a lot of money in trying to get promotion. So, but they've got a lot of good players like him. So it's not just him we've got to watch. There's a few more as well.
Lebo, you're looking ahead to the game with Fleetwood Town. So, I mean, it's Nathan, I don't think, like, you know, how often have we said now that we need to go on a run? And it needs to start soon. So, hey, where better place to start than Fleetwood? I mean, a better place to start would have been probably, I don't know, about 3 months ago. But where better place to start than Fleetwood?
Well, yeah, I think it'd probably end up coming to the penultimate game of the season and we'll just start winning a game or one or two games and we go, oh, we're on the run now. But, yeah, no, the season's finished. But, you know, I mean, well documented with the so-called run that, you know, that we're due to have. Coming up against teams that are in the lower half of the table, it just shows that you're not necessarily going to win them all, like we found out after 30 seconds on Saturday. But yeah, every time's a good way to start a run. You look at I'm still not looking at the top six because until the games start levelling out, I don't think there's so many sort of instances that can happen or what can't happen. Once we start coming to around about the same amount of games, that's when I'll look at it. So I think Accrington went in there yesterday. Sunderland went in there on Saturday in the top six, that is. And it's just going to change. I need that you've got the teams playing. You've got Hull and Donny playing each other this week. So it's all going to change. And I just think if we can do this so-called winning run, because you look around, you know, you look at the squad, we've got the players to do it. It's just that consistency and trying to shore it up at the back a little bit, because we're obviously shooting ourselves in the foot and conceding the first goal. But we've got the tools to do it. We just need to go out and do it. What you don't want to do is leave it too late, and it'll only that we'll run out of games, because that's what it's going to come down to. We've still got quite a few left, don't get me wrong, but we're going to run out of a game soon if we don't start getting this 4, 5, 6 game winning run on the started.
Yeah, and again, Tom, obviously we have to bounce back from a defeat, that Gillingham game. I mean, Bo did say we had our chances in it and we had spells, and I think he certainly blames the red card of Chuksunike. But and again, I mean, how many times have we had to say this? The reaction's important, because I mean, if we really get sucked into a 2 or 3 games now again without winning, then that I think that will effectively just end our season. So I mean, it's getting into borderline must win territory pretty much every time we play now for me.
Yeah, I wonder if we're already past it. I mean, obviously, we've got enough games to make the playoffs. And I think it was only a week ago, maybe 2 weeks, that I was saying, you know, I haven't given up hope yet. But after Gillingham, I have started to feel very slightly different, in that the more I thought about it, the more I realised that the performances haven't been largely different between the wins and the defeats, which does put a little bit of it down to bad luck. Which I know an article Benji Nurek put out kind of echoes that. But I think what all that kind of leads me to think at this point in time is we're just probably not a good enough side to make the playoffs, particularly when we're having a bit of bad luck. I think we probably need things to go our way to be good enough to get into that, certainly the top two and probably the top six. And I think too often this season, unfortunately, luck has not gone our way. And of course, errors have played a part as well. I'm not just suggesting we've been unlucky, but I just think probably we're an eighth or ninth best team in this division at the moment. And even the wins that we've had, I don't think we've been any better in our performances than the defeats, apart from the occasional sloppy mistake or the occasional worldy goal at the other end. And it's a shame and it's frustrating, but that's where kind of I see us now. And I think you referenced it in the opening to the show that it feels a little bit like we have two podcasts that we do at the moment. We either come off the back of a win and say, right, we now need to put a run on together, or we come off the back of a defeat and say, well, we need to bounce back. And that's basically our default over the past few weeks. And you look at our last four games, we've been win, loss, win, loss. So that kind of adds up. And that inconsistency, unfortunately, is going to be our downfall. Again, of course, we've got enough games to make the playoffs. I just don't think we've got the consistency in our team to do it. And obviously, if we have, I'll be chuffed. But that kind of leads on to the whole bow you're out stuff, which I know that the guys talked about, or you guys talked a lot about at the weekend. For me, he needs a summer under Thomas. He needs next season. And at that point, if the inconsistency, if the issues are still there, then you have that conversation. But for me at the moment, it's about trying to make the most of this season. And who knows, maybe we will scrape playoffs. Maybe we'll go on a good run and make it. But if we don't, it's about being realistic. Boya's already said we're going to have a big turnaround of personnel in the summer once again. But from that point on, if Thomas is serious, then that's the point that the stability really starts. So it's all a bit doom and gloom, I think, from me at the moment. But like I say, I'm trying to remain positive and trying to just enjoy each game as it comes. But the fact is, we're just a bit of a bang average side to me. And it's taken the last couple of results to really make me kind of feel that way. But yeah, that's kind of where I am at the minute. But having said that, you know, I'll still watch Saturday and hopefully we do get a good result.
Well, just staying with you then, Tom. I mean, are you writing this season off then? Is that what you're saying? You don't think we're good enough to get into the playoffs?
I'm not writing us off, but I also don't think we're good enough. And what that might contradict for a lot of people, but it wouldn't surprise me if we just limp into that top six, because one thing that I have been consistent on this season is the state of the league itself. I don't think any team is particularly that good. I know Hull put five past Wigan the other day, but I think you referenced it yourself, didn't it? Wasn't there like a 13-goal swing from the last time those two sides played? So I haven't seen any team that we've played and thought they were good. I think we've either been unlucky or we've been made silly mistakes. And of course, those mistakes form part of the game. So no, I haven't written us off, but I'm certainly not optimistic about us getting to the playoffs now. And I think if we did get there, I feel a little bit fortunate. I don't think we're good enough to get there. I don't think we deserve to get there. But if we do, obviously, I'm not gonna complain. So no, I haven't written us off entirely, but I'm certainly not expecting us to get there now. I just don't think the consistency is there. I don't think we've been good enough. And although there is enough games left technically to get the points, I just can't see us putting a run together now, which 3 or 4 weeks ago I maybe thought that we would. Probably I just don't see it happening. But hey, I'm not the manager, you know. I can't predict the future, so who knows? I'm not giving up all hope yet.
That's a really interesting point that Tom makes there, Nathan. I'd ask you maybe the same question then, because I mean, Tom speaks about, you know, I remember thinking this during that six-game winning run that we had sort of in the mid-early part of the season, that we were never really blowing teams away. We were just fairly solid and then taking our chances when they came. We feel like a different side from them to now in terms of, like, we're not solid at the back, you know, particularly at home. Yeah, away, I think we've kept three clean sheets in the last four. At home, we haven't been that side yet. But I feel like, and I'd have to check what the goal ratio in terms of goals scored is, but I feel like we pose more of an attacking threat now. I feel like we create more chances, but we've just lost that solid base that we used to have. So That's why I'm still clinging on to a bit of hope that we just need to fix one part. We just need to fix that defence. And, you know, it, clearly easier said than done, because I've been saying it for weeks now and it hasn't happened. It's happened in a couple of away games as well, I guess. So maybe that's why I'm clinging on to it, because I've seen it in games. But Nathan, I mean, Tom's gone quite bold there and said he doesn't think we're going to make playoffs. Are you in that? Are you of that mindset yet? I mean, you're not looking at the table yet, which is fair. No. But at the same time, you know, I am. We're 1 point outside the playoffs. Sorry, 2 points outside the playoffs currently. Obviously, the two teams above us have games in hand, so it's not out the question that let's guess and say we'll be 4 or 5 points outside the playoffs when everyone's added up, if we're lucky. You know, it's still doable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I understand obviously where Tom's coming from completely. For me, maybe it is because I'm not looking at the table as much. You know, if anything, really, I think I saw it today because I was doing something else. But I think the people around us got games in hand, but how many of those are playing each other? Both of them can't get points. I just think for me, the couple of seasons ago when we went up, albeit we had that late surge at the end of the year, I can envisage us putting a run together, but it wouldn't surprise me if we leave it too late and we just miss out. But I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that's happened. I still think we'll make playoffs, but I don't know. It's the hope that kills you, right? I think the difference between the last time in League One and this time, because we're so inconsistent, and Tom summed it well. You just don't know what side's going to turn up. And I think if we all sit here and go, yeah, I know we've had the injury problems, etc. Would you be able to name your best 11 or the starting 11? Back in League One, when we went up, you knew it was, you know, Billick at the base, or, you know, you'd go into a three and then you'd have, you know, Cullen there, you'd have Lyle there, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Whereas now I'm looking at it going, I don't even know who's going to start. Like, I don't even know what our best 11 is. I can try and pick it, but how many times have they played together, that best 11? And so it's difficult because you know that there's a team in there. It just depends on how quickly they're going to gel. And I know there's some people want Bowyer out, and, you know, I've always said that, you know, that's fair enough. This show never shies away from voicing all opinions, and I can understand why they're getting frustrated. But what I always think back to is back when Bowyer was going to leave, or he's linked with other jobs, and when we were under the, you know, the circus we had before, people were going, oh, don't go, you know, just wait until it's all sorted out. Give him a couple of transfer windows and he'll sort it out, blah, blah, blah. And then now when we're in a bit of bother, because, yeah, things ain't rosy at the moment in terms of our form, but the first sort of time he's now got the chance to try and build something, which both windows were a bit rushed and we were under a cap, which shouldn't have existed. We're now going, oh, you know, he's not the right one. So I just think we've got to give it a little bit. And if I'm totally honest, if we don't go up this year, I'll be gutted. Of course I would. But I'm not actually that bothered, you know, because I just think Bowyer needs a good window. And if he can put the building blocks in place for the remainder of this year, and then we're going to a summer where he's got a bit more time, I think that'll suit us better. But I'm not losing hope yet. I still think we'll be all right. But if we lose on Saturday, we'll probably lose for the next 4 weeks and I'll still go, yeah, we've still got a chance. But that's how crazy this league is, because no one's running away with it. So, yeah, because, you know, Fleetwood, we're going to them, they beat Donny a couple of weeks ago. And Donny have won 9 on the bounce or 10 on the bounce and they lost their last 3. It's just a crazy league, so anything can happen.
Yeah, certainly is. I mean, yeah, we are officially looking ahead to the Fleetwood game. So let's have some discussion. First of all, about us. I mean, Chucks and EK's not playing. So Terry did ask a question at the start of that Bowyer clip, which was ages ago now, about whether Connor Washington will be starting alongside Jaden Stockley. And obviously there's Ronnie Schwartz as well. We'll hear from Bowyer a bit on Ronnie later on in the show. But I mean, Connor sort of coming back into that side, I think you'd probably fancy him to start that game alongside Jaden, Tom. You know, he's been a bit of a forgotten man over the last few weeks, Connor. We need to, you know, he's our second highest goal scorer. He's been, you know, a hard worker for us. He can have quiet games, sure, like the rest of them. But, you know, I think he's been a fairly decent acquisition for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I certainly haven't forgotten about him. I don't know if I've maybe thought more of him than the average fan, but I've been really impressed. You know, he's got a lot of goals, and I don't necessarily think he's got the praise he deserves. As you say, he's had the odd quiet game, but you look at our form, as we spoke about earlier, and you know where we are in the table, I think you could say that about a lot of players. I've been really, really impressed with him since he's come in. And if he's fit and can start, then I'd have absolutely no problems with that. Obviously, Chucks is going to be a big miss, but Jaden has been fantastic since coming in. Connor has got a lot of goals for us so far, a lot in the context of what the team have got. And obviously, we'll talk about Ronnie a bit later, so I'll leave that. And with Chucks not there, for me, if you're going to play the two up front, then that's probably who you go with, you know. And that's probably the formation we have to go with now. You know, we haven't got Johnny, we haven't got Marcus Madison, so you can't really play two of them and a Liam Miller. I suppose you could potentially play Liam and Jai Asemi and maybe somebody in a number 10, but I don't really know which of the others in there would do it. I don't see like an Albie or a Shinny playing that role necessarily. So I think we are primarily looking at two up front, and they're obviously the two that we've got, so that's probably the way we're going to go. But yeah, I've got no issue with it at all. I think Stockley's done well, and I think Connor can be that sort of workhorse around him to get the little nod downs. And when he's in the box and he has a chance, more often than not, he's scored. So yeah, Chucks is a miss, but Connor's a good replacement for sure.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a or do you consider it, Nath, a drop down Anike? I mean, you know, with no Anike in the side, how much will we miss him, even with the likes of Connor coming back in? Because, I mean, he is our talisman for me. I think Jaden does provide that aerial presence up top, and as Tom says, hopefully knockdowns and the like that we'll ask Connor to try and feed off. But, I mean, how much of a big miss will Chucks be? Because he makes us tick.
Yeah, of course he does. With Chucks, he's obviously very influential in the way that we play. He's a very powerful striker, and him and Jaden proved that on the physical presence in the last couple of games. But I think with Connor, you're getting a different sort of player. You're not going to have to go direct, because I think the last time we played Connor up front and we were going too direct, he got hauled off at half time, which wasn't his fault. But I think it'll be interesting as well with Jake not playing, if he puts Matt Smith in, because I know Ronnie and Connor will probably do a lot better in the team when we've got someone of Matt Smith's sort of his range of passing in terms of passing through the third. So I think it'll be a good, I think it's a good change. I think the only thing that frustrates me sometimes when you have the likes of Jaden and Chucks up there, it becomes too easy to go too long. It becomes more of a more appealing option, shall we say, when under pressure to go that and make that direct pass instead of trying to get out of tight areas and play, which we all know that we can. So I think it will work well. I think Connor's movement is probably one of his biggest assets. So I think it's going to be good to see him, and I agree with Tom. He has, considering the amount of goals he scored, he has become that sort of forgotten man, because the hype's been, and rightly so, on Chucks, and obviously the impact that Jaden's had, because Jaden has brought something that we've not had for a long, long time in terms of that physical presence up front. I was thinking back to Mackinock then, but then I was going to hit myself because I know that wasn't the case, but just that presence we had up front. We haven't had it for a while, but I think it's going to be a time now for Connor to come in and do well. If he comes in and does well, then it's, you know, Chucks has got to start on the bench again. And then it's, you know, the pendulum swings the other way, if you want to put it like that. But I think it'll be a good opportunity for Connor to show what he's made of, because I think he can play a good part in the team.
Now, obviously, our defensive problems have been well highlighted. Well, pretty much the majority of the season, unfortunately, ever since we've lost the two main men to injury. And like I said, we'll hear an injury update after the break from Lee Bowyer. But, you know, last time out away from home with Jason Pearce and Deji Oshalaja at the back, we kept a clean sheet. We looked tight. We didn't make the mistakes we've made. But obviously, Saturday, we made a mistake 30 seconds in with Deji. So now, I mean, everyone was so delighted that Bowyer named an unchanged side before kickoff against Gillingham, and 30 seconds later they were like, oh, should have done that. So I mean, which way do you think you go with this on Saturday, Tom? Do you keep that defence again? Does Gunter come back into the middle? Do, you know, what's the decision you'd make if you were in Lee Bowyer's shoes?
I'd keep it the same again. I was someone who had called for the same back four, not necessarily the same starting 11, that wasn't where I was pleased about the side on Saturday. But for me, that back four needs to stay the same. And yes, there was a mistake for the goal yet again, but I would just keep it the same for maybe three or four more weeks now, because they need time to play in. And yes, Akin is now fit and getting minutes into him, but you don't want to rush him back. So for me, you keep it the same. You know, Purrington towards the end, and for that third goal, there were people questioning him. But again, he had had two solid games before that and had deserved to get back into the side. And you just can't keep switching it around, because, look, mistakes at the moment with us are going to happen irrespective of whether you change them or not. And we've spent, what, 8, 9, 10 weeks trying to work out what the issue is and trying to come up with answers. We haven't found them. Boya hasn't found them. So for me, you just keep that consistency there now and just play them all for a bit. And yes, Martin has done some good things, but he's also had some poor games. So I don't think he can, you know, deserves or commands a place in the starting 11. Same with Famwo coming back. Yes, we were all excited about him coming back, but, you know, there's nothing to say that he isn't going to play himself into a mistake when he comes back either. So for me, you keep it as it is. Keep that back four, keep that consistency, do it for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And if you're not seeing a difference by then, that's the point to maybe start to look at changes. But I just, for me, a back four, if they're fit and they're playing consistency, they will play themselves into form. And I don't think two games in a row is enough of a sample size for us to judge this lot and say they're not doing it. So yeah, that's what I would do, but I'm not Boya. So, and he's liked to change things around a lot this season. So it wouldn't surprise me if things are changed, but for me, you'd be going the same back four for at least three more games and then assess it then.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look at Fleetwood. Simon Grayson taking over as manager, I think, towards the end of last month, replacing Joey Barton, who, well, probably did what Joey Barton normally does and is no longer at the club. Yeah, decent manager. I think, obviously, it's early days for him, but they did have that big 3-1 win against Doncaster a couple of weeks ago. Got beaten down at Plymouth. That is a long journey. Last weekend. You know, it's a ground I think we got beat last time we went there. I remember Ched Evans scoring a goal for Fleetwood when we were struggling with Carlin Grant Gron, and I think Lyle Taylor was suspended or something at the time. It's aside probably underachieving this year, which is a word that's been thrown about actually quite a bit last couple of weeks. But yeah, Fleetwood sitting down in 16th. Nathan, it's a tough test. I mean, we saw they gave us a real good game at the Valley, coming back from 3-2. They don't have Ched Evans anymore. He's gone to Preston North End for the rest of the season, so not quite the same lineup. But we saw they have some pretty decent players, and Boya highlighted Josh Morris, who's involved for them. We tried to sign during he got as far as coming down, didn't he, during the transfer window, and it didn't go through in the end. So, you know, they have got some good players in that side.
Yeah, they have. I thought when they come up, when they come and played us at our ground, I thought they'd be a lot higher up in the league than they would. And like you were saying, they've lost Evans, they've lost Paul Coutts. You know, he's a good experienced player, and they had some good players at this level. So yeah, I was surprised that they're not really doing as well as they could have, or they can do rather. But yeah, it's going to be a tricky game. As far as I'm aware, is this the ground where they play Captain Pugwash?
Well, hopefully we won't find out again on Saturday. But yeah,
it really irritates me, that does. I don't know why. Nothing against Captain Pugwash, but it's just really irritating. Reminds me of Palace fans for some reason. I don't know why. That's probably why it irritates me. But yeah, no, they've got some good players, and we're going to have to be on our A game. And I think the problem is going back to what Tom was saying about the defence, I agree completely, because if we keep changing it, A, you look desperate. And the other thing is every time, you know, when there was times where Bowie was playing people out of position, people going, oh, play people where they, you know, play a left back at a left back, right back at a right back. Now we've got two centre halves. Why are we going to just play a right back and then a centre midfielder? It just doesn't make sense. Yeah, they made mistakes. Yeah, of course they do. They did. But apart from that, the second goal was a worldie, just like most of the Rochdale ones, the Quado Bar ones. And then the third one, we just backed off a little bit. But if you're dropping people for every mistake they make, you're going to be dropping. That means we should drop Chucks. How many chances has Chucks missed? I know he's done amazing. But so you've got to try and weigh it up. But because they're the last line of defence, pardon the pun, then you can't just drop them every time they make a mistake. Otherwise, every single game will be 0-0 and then a different 11 will be every different week. So, but yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But again, it's a game that on paper we should win. But as we know from Saturday, games aren't won on paper, and we're going to have to give as good as we can get. But in terms of how we line up, I have no idea. That's the beauty of it, I guess.
Excellent, excellent insight there, Nathan. Thank you. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we got some of your tweets and emails to come to.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So we meet again and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right-hand side of Smith. Smith, ball into the box. And he can hear first! Oh, what a header! Superb goal by Joan. Brilliantly worked on this right-hand side. Smith with the cross. And Aniko's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to Highbury. Take on Fleetwood Town. Captain Pugwash Merchants, as Nathan the cabin boy was calling him there. Right, let's have a look at some tweets and emails. Obviously, we had quite a lot of discussion that came in during the week, and I asked, I invited people to continue to get involved looking ahead to the game and to have their say on the whole situation at the club at the moment. Craig just sent a tweet in, actually saying we have to be ready from the first minute without Chucks. We have to rely on the others, so we need them to step up. I'd take a scrappy at 1-0, please, Charlton Yard. Take that as well. We got some emails in as well. Colin says, negative fans, can everyone just get behind the players? Yeah, we're a bit hit and miss but at times, but keep the faith and believe. Come on, you addicts, our time is coming. So Colin's saying that some people have been too negative at the moment. Phil says, hi guys, important to get three points this week as we've slipped down the table since our defeat against Gillingham. Not sure why Lee Bowyer chose the DJ option to replace Jake Forster-Caskey last week. I would have thought that Matt Smith or Morgan may have been the better option and left Shinny on the right, where he's been playing well. Expect to see Jaden and Ronnie starting up front, which I feel may bring Ronnie into the game more. Let's hope we have finally conceded the last of the super goals and our opponents have to start relying on creating chances. Yeah, interesting that decision, Tom, that Beau made to replace Jake Forster-Caskey when he got injured the other day with dialing Jai Simi, and sort of move things about a bit. Particularly that he mentioned, you know, Matt Smith hasn't really been involved yet since he's come in. So I do wonder if we'll see him Saturday. I mean, would you have him starting?
Yeah, I won't pretend to know a huge amount about him, but when Jake got injured on Saturday, I thought that would be the obvious choice to replace him. And look, I like Jai Simi and I know what he's about and he's a good player, but it did change the shape a little bit. And I thought that, again, goes back to that consistency point that I talked about, that when once you start changing things up, particularly that stage in the game, you have to kind of adjust everything. And I thought, you know, it wasn't like we were in a rhythm anyway because we'd already gone 1-0 down, and I can't remember what the score was at that point, but it wasn't like, you know, we were 3-0 up and in a rhythm and that got ruined or anything like that. But Yeah, I was disappointed, and I think we've got enough players in the middle there that we've probably got two in every position now. And it goes back to when the transfer window closed, and obviously I said what I said about Johnny, but I said the positives were that across that midfield, you've got like for like in the positions for a flat 4-4-2, possibly a diamond, although as we spoke about earlier, I'm not entirely sure who fills that number 10, but Smith comes with a good reputation and is someone that I remember watching when we played them in the cup, the first game, was it the League Cup, right at the start of the season, and I commentated, so I was there. Obviously, I haven't seen a lot of live games this season, but I remember him from that game and thinking what a good player he was, although they had about four Smiths on the pitch, I think, so I think I'm thinking of the right one. So yeah, I'd like to see him come in, definitely. I think he could be good. You've got him, you've got Albie, you've got Shinny, you've got a lot of creativity in the middle of the park now, and I think, yeah, we want to make the most of that. And so, yeah, Smith is one who hasn't really had enough minutes for me. But again, it might just be Boya just, you know, keeping an eye on protecting him. But you can't protect him all season. At some point, you've got to chuck him in and see what happens. So, yeah, I'd like to see him get given a go at the weekend for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's one of our loanees as well. And another thing that Bo mentioned during press day today was that we're hoping to get one of those loanees turned into a permanent. Remember a couple of weeks ago, he said one or two he'd like to look at. Today, he sort of said, well, it's only likely to be one. And he said he hoped to do it before the weekend. Which one would you like to see, Nathan, if we could turn one of our loanees? And I guess you have to be realistic as well. Which one do you think realistically would be the one to go for?
I mean, if you asked me the question, back at the early part of the season, I probably would have said Akin, because I thought he was doing so well. But I think, I mean, looking at the others, some of them are probably a little bit unrealistic, to be fair, in terms of fees that are probably going to be demanded. But, you know what? I'll stick with Akin. I just think he's brought us something different. I think we've missed him. It's pretty obvious that we have, along with Ryan. I'll go with Akin. I hope it is. I don't know if it will be, but I hope it is. But he's not been fit, so it's going to be unlikely that we're going to, unless he proves his fitness.
I don't think that falls into what I would say was a realistic one as well. I just wonder if Norwich will still see him as a player with potential for them. So it's not going to be Martin, is it, on loan from Chelsea? It won't be Smith because he's on loan from Arsenal. So, and it's not going to be Miller because he's on loan from Liverpool. Again, probably a prospect. Imagine there's wages to in play there as well. So by process of elimination, Stockley, Championship side, still got another year on his contract. Would he be willing to drop down at this stage? Probably not. So by the process of elimination, it's Andrew Shinny, isn't it, Tom? I mean, is that a player that you'd like to see kept on? I've liked what he's done with us so far. He was in Team of the Week on Saturday, despite the fact we lost him and Miller.
Yeah, I don't know how he's got in there. But yeah, absolutely. I think I've been really impressed with him. And he's another one that, when I talk about performances have improved recently, even if results haven't been that consistent, the uptake or improvement in performances has definitely been since he returned from injury. And he was one that I think we spoke about in the early part of him coming back, where we said, you know what, he wasn't someone that when he was out, we were talking a lot about, but actually now he's back, we've realised how much we've missed him. I've been really impressed with him. I'd love to see him sign on a permanent. So if it is him, I'd be pleased. And also Stockley, I don't think Stockley's beyond the realms of possibility. As you say, it would be a step down for him. But if he gets on well here and he continues to put in the performances he is, and Thomas is ready to, you know, to stretch and pay the money in the summer, I don't think he's going to cost millions and millions to get. Now, it's obviously going to have to be, he's going to have to splash a little bit, but the salary cap will be gone by then. And I don't think it's unrealistic. And I would take, based on the few performances I've seen so far from him, I would take both of those two. So, yeah, if it is one of those, I'd be delighted. Obviously, if it was one of the other three from the Premier League clubs, I'd be delighted as well. But you're right, I think that's slightly more unrealistic, despite the fact that the wage cap's gone and Thomas is keen to spend. So, yeah, either of them I'd be happy with.
Yeah, I just think that the difference in wages between a Championship striker and a League One striker, I mean, I can't see us matching what Preston would play for a striker, and therefore, why would Jadon want to drop wages just to play for us? That's what, you know, currently we'd be paying a percentage of his wages, wouldn't we? So it'd be on the same money, I imagine. Right, let's have a look at some more emails as well that came in. That was from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Clive says, "Dear Louis, there is an unrealistic expectation of what can be achieved this season. I'm sure that much of this comes from the enthusiasm brought in by Thomas Sandgaard. It's great that he has enthusiasm, but top six was never achievable this season, and we need to accept that. We were by far the better side against Gillingham. They got some wonder goals. We hit the woodwork again. We get a player sent off for doing something that every manager would expect from a player. I wonder how long the great Leeds trio of Bremner, Charlton and Hunter would stay in the pitch these days. Probably no point in them even coming out of the dressing room. Before arrival of Thomas Sandgaard, we'd been told that we would have been safe from relegation this season. We would have taken it. If we had been told that we'd finished top half, we would have been ecstatic. We should be very thankful that we even exist. We need to stop behaving like the sulky school children and be very happy with 12th or better. Next season, we can reasonably expect 6th, but not necessarily this season. I remember when we were in the Premiership, we decided that Alan Kirby could not take us any further. What a disastrous decision that turned out to be. Have we not learned our lesson? Patience and our full support is what's needed, not knee-jerk tantrums. Let's grow up a bit." That's from Clive. What do you make of that, Nath? I mean, obviously, Clive's looked at the situation as a whole. You know, there's one thing. I mean, Thomas, I noticed he's been on the Not the Top 20 podcast, which is a good podcast that looks at the whole of the Football League today. And I haven't heard it yet because it only came out just before we've started recording. But some of the quotes, just, you know, Thomas is referring to, you know, another season in League One as being the worst case scenario. But that's not him saying, you know, it's a disaster. He's saying it's the worst case scenario. That's what it is, because the best case scenario is getting promoted. If we have to stay down another year because we have had these things that have left us, you know, falling behind, whether it be the fact that we had an embargo and the wage cap and we've made mistakes defensively, then so be it, and have another run at it next season.
Yeah, of course. I think, obviously, the best case scenario for everyone is for us to get promoted. I don't think anyone's saying that. And I agree with Clive. I think if we sit back and reflect and do look at it, that, you know, we would have been grateful when we didn't have any players, of course. But I think the difficulty is now is that we've got some good players and we've got a bit of depth. And I just don't think we're performing, you know, to match our potential. But then you've got ifs and buts about injuries and squads and, you know, errors, and but that's football. Ultimately, the best teams will get promoted, and at the moment we're not one of the best teams, so it's going to be, I understand where he's coming from, and I don't think it's going to be disastrous if we don't go up, depending that, you know, what I'm sure they would have talked about budgets already for next season, and I'm sure Bowyer and Steve Gallo will have something in mind, because it is going to be another rebuilding process because all the loans we got. But at least now they've got time and the budget that they know that they're going to have, and they can do it properly and really build it, because it does look a, you know, the squad does look a bit to be patched up. You know, we had Madison join and then leave. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be the worst case. So, I agree with a lot of Clive's points on that one.
Excellent stuff. Right, final email comes from Ryan. "Hi, Louis and the team. The bottom line is, if at the start of the season you would have told me where we would be now, I would have bitten your hand off. Bowyer rushed a few signings to get some bodies through the door, Washington and Gilby. Not good enough, but at the time they were our only chance. The only criticism I would have is that he should have tried to bring in a permanent centre-back, knowing that Fainwo is going at the end of the year, unless he is confident of keeping him." He says, "Deji is a League 2 standard centre-back at best, and Pierce is just not the man he used to be. We are overachieving in the sense that we cannot pull a team together on a wage cap. We cannot compare to Chris Powell's season when he brought in a whole new squad. Look at where those players went. Dale Stevens to a Premier League club. Michael Morrison stayed in the Championship. Jan the Man was just unreal, and Bradley Wright Phillips carried on playing at a decent standard. We had a decent loans and Leon Court as cover. We had Royce Wiggins and Chris Solly. That team was too good for League One in very different times. We have to stick with Bowyer. In my opinion, Sandgaard needs to stick by him and make it public. We need to get our expectations in check and build for the future with a manager who at least has a vested interest. Honestly, who could we get that was much better at this time? Typical of the throwaway society we live in today." That's from Ryan Nibbs. He says, "Much love, Beaver." Cheers, Ryan, for your email. Right, just before we have another break, actually, let's just hear some injury updates on some of those players we've been missing recently, the likes of Ryan Innes and Akin Fainwo involved here as well. But Lee Bayer, first of all, was asked about Jake Forster-Caskey, who was, of course, withdrawn during that defeat against Gillingham on Saturday.
He's got a slight hamstring, but not too bad. So he'll be out here, missed the weekend, but he won't be out too long.
That's cool. Good news with Ryan Innes. Looks like the from the scan was clear and he can step up the training. Is there a time scale on that before he can be active, or is that you've got to play it by ear?
No, I've got to play it by ear a little bit because obviously the scan that the specialists are saying that he can step it up. He can obviously run faster. He's been jogging for weeks, the poor lad. but now we can step it up on the running side of things. He can start to kick balls now. Obviously, short distances is just a build-up thing now, Terry. So he's got another scan in 2 weeks. So then after that, we're hoping that that he can then crack on properly and maybe be in and around us not long after that. So that's the plan going forward with Ryan. So the most important thing is that now we can step him up a little bit, so which is moving in the right direction.
You played Akin now in a couple of under 23 games, and you're Albie Morgan and Alex Gilby in there as well. Are they close to being included in the squad now? First team squad?
Yeah. Akin obviously's done a 60 and a 70 around that sort of time, so. I was at the game on Monday and he done well, come through it well. So, yeah, we're looking to put him in the squad now. And he's not too far away. So, well, probably a bit too soon for him to start games. But, yeah, he'll be in and around us now.
Pressuring the ball again and Gunter doing exactly that. Almost gets the ball off Dulu. He doesn't know where it is. Williams picks it up. Anike in the box. Can he touch it as Swords? He can!
Yes!
First goal for the Addicts and it's a stormer.
What a finish from the new boy.
Charlton Live.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We heard there just before the break the injury updates for Jake and for Akin. So, you know, Akin probably going to be on the bench on Saturday. Ryan's still a couple of weeks away, but making process. Jake, we'll see what happens with him, but not going to be around Saturday by the sounds of it. Now, something else that Bay was asked about today during press day was our home form, which hasn't been very good. We're winless in six now at the Valley. Lee was asked why he thinks that is. I guess if there's a way to turn it around.
I think we've just got to keep trying to do the right things, Terry. I think that let's take into account that every shot that someone's having at the moment seems to be going in. The Valley, the weekend, two very good finishes, the first two goals. The second one, is he ever going to do that again? The left back, probably not. I bet he's never ever done it before and he'll never do it again. So, like a few times now I've said that everything people seem to be hitting at the moment seems to be going in. So, if you take Rochdale when we played him at home, they saw four goals in the first half. They had four shots and four great goals. And then the odd mistake here and there that we've made, like individual errors, then it's cost us, you know. So, but if we wasn't creating chances, if we wasn't playing well, then I'd be more worried. There's not really much we're doing wrong. If you go back to the weekend, then obviously the first two goals and the sending off. So, But we have to address that and we have to keep doing the right things. The players know that. We know that. So we know that we have to go on a run. There's no getting away from that. And that's not just going on a run away from home. We have to win at home as well. So, but I don't think the pitch helps us a bit, if I'm honest. Groundsmen are doing everything they can. But it's been difficult. It's not a very good playing surface. And obviously we're a side that looks to play football. So I think when we went to Rochdale the other day and they had a newly laid pitch, I think you could tell that suited us better. But that's the hand we're dealt now. That's the circumstances that we have to face and we have to get around that. So, but yeah, it's a couple of things that could be better, but we have to adapt, which I use that word a lot here.
There you go.
To adapt and find a way. And we will, I have no doubt. We're not doing much wrong and we've just got to carry on doing that.
Well, there we go. So, I mean, all sorts of things mentioned there. The pitch was one of those and some bad luck in some of those goals we've conceded as well. But, you know, the main, whichever way you look at it, Tom, we've not been good enough at home. And we, as Bo said, we're doing okay on the road recently, 3 wins out of our last 4. But that means nothing if we're not backing it up at home. And he has to find that winning formula soon.
Yeah, and it's not just a Charlton problem. I think home points are down pretty much across the board, aren't they? And teams tend to be doing better away. But I think as well, it does sound a little like we're bigging ourselves up here. But at League One level, you look at some of the clubs and places that you go to. The Valley is a big stadium. And yes, it hasn't been full for a number of years, apart from the odd game. But, you know, there's a good atmosphere there and we do score a lot of late goals when the fans are kind of, you know, dragging the team through. You think of that Wimbledon game before Christmas. Yes, it was only one game, but we were down and struggling and the team, you know, rallied round. But a huge part of that was the fans in there. And, you know, both me and Nif sit in the north stand in the lower. And I'm sure he'll agree that the atmosphere down there, particularly in second halves when we're chasing the game, we're trying to get back into it. You really do feel like you're making a difference. So I think that has played a part, but that's not the only thing. You know, the mistakes and the issues, they're all kind of there for people to see. I do think the pitches have been an issue as well. And of course, again, it's the same for both teams, but we play a certain brand of football where we do need a relatively smooth surface. And it's no surprise that, you know, the games that we've lost recently particularly have been on particularly bad pitches. And I thought the Valley looked a little bit cut up on Saturday. I know the ground staff did an amazing job just to get the game to go ahead, so it's no criticism of them. But as Nath mentioned in an earlier answer, you did find us going long naturally to Stockley and Anike, and I think that's partly down to the types of players they are, but also down to the fact that when we were trying to pass it through the middle, we were having issues with the pitch. So I think there are a lot of factors behind it. It's just an unusual season overall, and I think when we come to review this season in May or whenever it is that it actually finishes, we will kind of chalk it up to hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So, yeah, there's a number of issues there. But going away from home, hopefully our recent form will give the players confidence to think that they can go out there and get a result. I don't know what Fleetwood's pitch looks like at the moment. But, yeah, I think our away form speaks for itself. It is good, and that should hopefully give them confidence.
Now, Tom's mentioning an unusual season then, Nath, and there is one thing that I've wanted to talk about all week, and it happened in League One, so I'm taking it. Referee Darren Drysdale going head-to-head with Alan Judge of Ipswich Town. Now, first things first, the most important thing, and we have to remember this, is that was really funny, so that's fine. That's probably what we need a bit more of. But, I mean, as a ref, and I know some people say the players give it all, they should be able to take it back. But I don't know what your thought is, Nath. But as a ref, surely you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, either proper headbutt or nothing.
Mate, I think it's absolutely amazing. I think, and it made it even better that it was a diver. So I reckon a new rule, if you dive, you can get a nut by the blood, like by the ref. You know, I think it was good. I think it was hilarious. Like if we all, if we get off the old political bandwagon and go, oh yeah, but he should be showing, you know, a moral responsibility. Listen, we're human, and it's not like Darren Drysdale has just literally just gone up to a random player and just headbutted him. You know what I mean? He's probably been given the verbal all game. He's been diving all over the show. He probably took the mickey out of his bald head and his beard, and he's thought, I tell you what, that's enough's enough. I'm going to nut you here. And luckily for Judge, you know, he didn't you know, get a proper Glaswegian kiss there. But, yeah, he shouldn't be doing it. But was it funny? Yes. Would I like to see it again? Yeah. But, yeah, just have a punch up on the pitch would be quite funny. Yeah. But
all right, so, all right, Tom, I'll ask you. So next time Bo gets really annoyed, right, with a decision. We saw he got booked on Saturday, didn't he, for moaning at the referee. He went right up to the fourth official, shouts in his face. If the fourth-o lands a nut right square on Bo's nose, smashes it into pieces, are we all laughing it off then, or are we going, oh, he's probably overstepped the line there?
I think both. I'm going to laugh. I mean, obviously he's overstepped the line, but, you know, that happens in all walks of life. You can't tell me across offices across London there isn't the occasional scrap between people who just get a little too excited. And of course it's inappropriate and shouldn't happen, and I'm sure it's dealt with, but it doesn't stop it being funny at the time. I mean, any of us in our office, if we saw someone, I don't know, lump a manager, we'd find it funny, even if we knew it was wrong. So, well, I found it amazing to see, because obviously their whole thing is about keeping their composure and their discipline. So to see one of them lose it like that was funny. So, yeah, I obviously the correct answer is no, I don't want to see it. But if a referee went up to Bowyer and headbutted him, you'd have to laugh, wouldn't you? A brave man if he does do it, that's for sure.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's get more referees headbutting playing staff and managerial staff then. that's what Charlton Live's official stance is. Right, just the last one we're going to talk about on the pod. Again, it was something that Bo was asked about in press day today. So I thought I'd bring up Ronnie Schwartz. You know, came into us having not really played a great deal of football this season. Bo was asking how he's doing now with catching up with his match fitness.
Ronnie's getting there, yeah, he's getting there. I think he started a couple of games here and there as well, so he's looking sharper. The one thing that stands out with me with Ronnie is his finishing. Like, he's a very, very, very good finisher. So if he gets a chance, then I like to think that he'd probably score. He's definitely one of them strikers that one in two chances he will score one of them. Where other strikers in this division, they might need three or four chances, you know. That's the one thing that stands out for me with Ronnie. But regarding his fitness, he's getting fitter, he's getting sharper. So yeah, he's starting to catch up now.
There we go. So Bo saying that Ronnie's getting there, getting closer. He's a man who we expect to keep his composure in front of goal when he gets his chances. We've only really seen, I think I've seen him have, what, two or three chances, one of which he scored against Rochdale, one of which he had a goal that was given offside incorrectly. I think that might have been against Swindon, but I can't remember exactly. And then he hit the post in a game as well early on. So every time we've seen him with a chance or half chance, he's either scored or made the keeper work when he pushed it onto the post nave. So, you know, I mean, he could be a very valuable player to bring off the bench on Saturday, particularly if we need a goal late on. You know, Matt Smith feeding him could give us that one chance we need to find a late goal.
Yeah, of course. I think with Ronnie, the goal he did score against Accrington, wasn't it? It just showed that bit of quality. And I think it's not all about where, obviously, his main job is to obviously put the ball in the net, but it's his build-up play as well. I think it was the same game in Accrington. There were little touches around the corner, the little, you know, the hold-up play. I think he brings a lot. And I think you can see that he has that quality. And it's just a case of, yeah, just getting him up to speed, really. We've still got a lot of games left. And we've got a lot of games in a short period of time. So I think his time will come. And I still think he'll get a few more. It'd be interesting to see how he settles. Because, again, another thing we've got to think about is that he's a good player. But I don't know if his family's still over in Denmark. So he's probably living here on his own, probably either with another player or in a hotel or on, you know. So I think there's loads of factors, really. But I think you can see there's a player in there, and it's just getting him up to speed. And then And then I think he'll do wonders for us. I really do.
Lovely stuff. Right, we're running out of time now on the big match preview then. So just turning back to Fleetwood, let's have a look at some predictions for the game. Tom, how do you think it's going to go up against the COD Army?
Desmond.
Desmond, yeah, better than nothing. Yep. Is that part of a run if we get that? Does that start it or is that not?
I haven't said which Desmond yet. So it might not be Desmond 2-2.
Might be Desmond 4-0 away win.
Or something. I'll make that decision on Sunday.
Lovely stuff. Nathan, how do you see it again?
I'll go 3-2 to Charlton.
Excellent stuff. The start of the run is finally here. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you to Nathan and to Thomas for getting involved.
Cheers, boys.
Mate.
And I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Fleetwood. Hopefully it will be the start of a run. You can't really tell that straight away at full time because then you have to check the next game. But hopefully it'll be 3 points. See you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.